Here's another message from Pastor Peter Shirley from Life Christian Church.
Hebrews 11:1 says this. This has been our key text for this series. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I use this quote from an author called John MacArthur, who says this: faith is not a wistful longing that something may come to pass in an uncertain tomorrow. True faith is an absolute certainty, often of things that the world considers unreal and impossible. If we follow a God whose audible voice we have never heard and believe in a Christ whose face we've never seen, we do so because our faith has a reality, a substance, an assurance that is unshakable. In part one of this series, I kind of unpacked what faith is. And by way of description, I use this: faith is an attitude of trust in an object that allows the object to work on my behalf. So faith is an attitude of trust. It's an attitude of trust in something that allows the object in which I have placed my faith to do something for me. So the examples that I used: if I put my faith in a car, the car does something for me. It takes me down the road. If I put my faith in a plane, the plane does something for me. It flies me through the air. In fact, the whole thing gets better than that, because if I put my faith in an object, the nature of faith means that I actually take on the character of that object. So if I put my faith in a car, I actually take on the nature of the car. I actually begin to travel down the road at 100 kilometers an hour. If I put my faith in a plane, I actually take on the character of the plane. I begin to fly through the air at 33,000 feet at 600 miles an hour. And here's where this gets really, really exciting. If I put my faith in Jesus, guess what happens? Well, Jesus himself tells us, I tell you the truth in John 14:12, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. And friends, the essential ingredient, which is the whole overarching theme of this series, the essential ingredient for the church to be the church is faith. And if we actually put our faith in Jesus, then by his Holy Spirit, we will then begin to do what Jesus did. And this is really exciting. I hope you're getting challenged and stretched through this series, because this is quite confronting. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. And by his Holy Spirit, God wants to equip us to be the church, to be the continuing work of Jesus in the world today. And that's accomplished through faith. As we put our faith in him, we will do what he has been doing. That is both daunting, but also incredibly exciting. This morning, I want to use the New King James translation of our key text, which says this: now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And I've called today's message the substance of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That statement is almost an oxymoron. Faith is the substance and faith is the evidence. Faith is the substance. Another word for substance is material or matter. So it's saying faith is the substance, and yet faith has no form. But then it goes one step further. It says faith is the evidence. Now, I can't prove to you faith, but what I can prove to you is the outworking of faith, because just in this room this morning, there is testimony after testimony after testimony after testimony that faith is real, because faith in Christ is life-saving and life-transforming. Can I hear an amen this morning? So here's the thing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. The outworking of faith is the proof itself of its own existence. This messes with a lot of people's head, and maybe that won't make a lot of sense to you this morning, but we'll continue to unpack it. You see, we live in a very educated age. We have never, ever been so smart. We have never, never been so educated. We have never had the access to information and knowledge that we do today. But sadly, it is the information age that we now live in that has become such an obstacle to so many people coming to have faith in God. It is at times particularly hard for intellectuals. Now, I love the fact that in this church we have a lot of educators. We've got a lot of teachers. And they're educated thinking people. It demonstrates the fact that knowledge and faith aren't incompatible. But many intellectuals struggle with the concept of faith because their whole worldview, their whole personal philosophy, their whole personal belief system is based on truth being found in knowledge and facts and evidence. They would say that truth is found in logic, in reason. And they struggle when they come to church because faith is not a science. Faith is not an objective exercise. It defies logic. And sometimes, because people have to reason everything out, they do great in the university, but they struggle in the kingdom because they want to know why about everything. Wanting to know why about everything might be good for the classroom, but it's wrong for the kingdom. You see, at times, friends, our brain gets in the way. I don't want to disappoint you this morning, but God is not obligated to explain himself to us. We cannot expect God to explain himself to something as small as us. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, "Do not deceive yourselves. If any one of you thinks he is wise by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight." So when we ask why of God, I have a feeling that God's answer to us when we dare to question him would be the same answer as he gave to Job in the Old Testament. Job 38:2, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand." And God says, "Where were you when I formed the earth?" He goes on and he says, "Where were you when I spat out the oceans? Where were you when I separated light from darkness?" As the Old Testament prophet Isaiah says this, Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." Friends, faith is not logical. We cannot reason God. We have such finite minds to try and comprehend an infinite God. Again, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. In the last part of this series, we talked about faith leveling the playing fields. And this is what I love about this, because God, by nature, is a just God. And so God being a just God levels the playing field by making the access that everything God has for you and I simply available, simply accessible through faith. Ephesians 2 and 8 says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, but not by works, so that no one can boast." The Bible tells us clearly time and time again, through the grace of God, we are saved by faith. So a just God says salvation comes through faith. You see, if salvation was on the basis of works, it wouldn't be just. If salvation was on the basis of talent, it wouldn't be just. If salvation came by intellect, it wouldn't be just. So faith is God leveling the playing field. You want a relationship with me, you want to know me, you want to discover the freedom and the joy of my salvation, that certainty. You want to know the promises of God. There is one access point freely available to all, and it comes through faith. In fact, he leveled the playing field so low that he says this, Matthew 18:3, Jesus' words, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus is saying, hey, listen, you want to learn about faith? Look at a child. Doesn't say look at your pastor. You want to learn about faith? Look at a child. Why? Because it is amazing how easily children believe the things that they are exposed to. It is amazing to see the easiness in which children believe, because the nature of a child says, if I can trust that person, I'll believe it. And because my children trust me, they believe the things I say to them. And that's what Jesus is saying. You've got to have that trust that just says, I'm not trying to reason this thing out. I'm not trying to understand it. If I can trust God, that's all I need, to be able to trust God. And when somebody says, I don't believe in God, often what they're actually saying is that I'm not willing to trust God. And sometimes the hardest thing to do is just to let go of our reasoning. The hardest thing to do is just to let go of our own logic, our own understanding, and just trust God. But whenever I say, God, I don't trust you, what it is my little tiny mind actually policing the God who made my little tiny mind. Friends, there is absolutely no point arguing with God. Even Jesus said at his point of most critical need, not my will, but your will be done. And here's the great news. Whether you are an intellectual or whether you are illiterate, faith gives to every man, woman, boy, girl an equal opportunity to access the things that actually matter the most. You see, somebody who is illiterate can't teach at the university. But just because they might be small in the eyes of the world, it doesn't mean that that person is small in the kingdom. You can be illiterate and be totally anointed. Remember one of our key texts from last week, Acts 4:13, Peter and John on trial. And Peter, it says, filled with the Holy Spirit, testifies in their defense. and he preaches the gospel in this court, hostile environment. And verse 13 of Acts 4 tells us, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God chooses and calls the most simple, ordinary, everyday people, unschooled, ordinary men, to anoint them, to display the reality of who He is through them. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I praise God that in the kingdom, the playing field is leveled by faith. Every single person here this morning has an equal opportunity to access the things of God. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I have $10. I'm not going to give it away. It's not one of those exercises this morning. I'm too stingy. I have a ritual that I often do on Monday mornings. Mondays is my day off. I often drop the kids to the bus and then head down to the best coffee in Devonport, which is Harbour Master Cafe. And I'll sit there and have my coffee. They know my order. I don't even have to ask for it. I just walk in and they can actually see me walking on the path and it's already half made by the time I'm through the door. And it's a large, skinny, flat, white with a shot of hazelnut, extra hot. Now, here's the thing. My coffee costs $5, and I'll generally have two of them. Now, listen. Here I have $10. The $10 is not what I want on a Monday morning. But the $10 is the substance of the thing that I hope for. I hope for a skinny, flat, white with a shot of hazelnut, extra hot, and then another one. I've got $10. I hope for coffee. And you know what? I am going to get my coffee by this $10. Because this $10 is the substance of the thing that I hope for. It is the evidence of that which I cannot yet see. I can't drink my $10, but it will get me something that I can drink. And if I go to the counter of the Harbour Master Cafe, great coffee, fantastic coffee, and we're recording this, so I'll get a free one next time I go. If I go up to the counter and give them this $10, they will give me a coffee. I can trade this for that. And what this represents in the earth realm, faith represents in the spirit realm. Our faith is an instrument of exchange. Our faith appropriates things for us. Now, where this analogy falls down is that it's not about buying stuff. I don't need to buy stuff from God. We don't need to buy our way because everything that we need was already paid for at the cross. But it does appropriate things for us. Faith grants us access to all that God has for us. Let's look at Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So he says here, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, there's the exchange. Through faith, we have been justified. What does justified mean? It simply means that you and I, through faith, have right standing with God. You and I, because of what Jesus has done at the cross, in faith we can appropriate His righteousness, right standing with God. Just as the $10 is the substance of the coffee that I hope for, faith is the substance of the right standing with God that I hope for. It's appropriated through faith. Hebrews 11 and 1 again, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to tell you this morning, friends, you don't have to hope for salvation. You don't have to hope for right standing with God. It's already there. It's already paid for at the cross. And faith is the way in which we access that that is already available. Faith gives us access to everything that Jesus purchased on the cross. Again, we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Let me illustrate further. At home, we've got a little satellite dish on our roof that allows us to tune into Foxtel. But here's the thing. Do you know the Foxtel signal was already there? But we didn't have any way of receiving it. It was already there. All the satellite dish did was give us access to what was already there. And in the same way, faith tunes us in to what's already there. So don't think faith is about making stuff up or just kind of wishing stuff into being. The essence of true faith is that that stuff is already there. God's promises, God's hope, God's deliverance, God's healing, it's already there. Faith is the thing that grants us access. But here's the tough thing. I wonder how much we are missing out on of all that God has for us because it's there to receive, but you and I are not exercising the faith to receive it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And as you continue reading Hebrews chapter 11, there are some great by faith statements that are just absolutely amazing in and of themselves. Let's look at a few of them. Hebrews 11 and 7, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was unable to become a father. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And the writer goes on to say, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle, routed foreign armies, women received back their dead, raised to life again. Friends, faith is the key to unlock all that God has for you. Can I hear an amen this morning? I'm going to ask the team to come back up. Right now, somebody's probably thinking, yeah, I get all of that, but my problem is I don't have enough faith. People often say that, oh, if only I had more faith. People often say to me, I wish I had as much faith as you, and I'm thinking, man, no. There is an occasion when the disciples came to Jesus with that very, very same problem. Luke 17 and 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Now listen, that's a pretty impressive request, isn't it? You think, oh, the disciples are getting very, very spiritual right now. That's good to see. But Jesus replied, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. This is a really interesting encounter. The disciples come to Jesus and say, Jesus, increase our faith. And Jesus said, no, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed. In the Middle East, mustard seed is the smallest seed. If you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you would see things happen. And the point that Jesus is making is this. When the disciples say, increase our faith, Jesus' response lets us know that he's basically saying, guys, when you say increase our faith, you don't understand the nature of faith. Because the all-important thing about your faith is not the quantity of your faith. The all-important thing about your faith is the object of your faith. And if you put mustard seed-sized faith in God, God will work. Friends, the greatest thing about faith is that it gives us access, free access, to all that God has for us. Ephesians 3 and 10, his intent was that now, through the church, that's you and I, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I love that. Through faith in Jesus, you can approach God with freedom and with confidence. And friends, as we close this morning, we're going to share communion together. And it's a good response, because everything that God has for us, as I have said, was purchased at the cross. Everything that you need to live a life of faith, a life of trust, everything that you need to approach God freely with confidence is available at the cross. And these emblems simply represent Jesus' obedience to the will of his Father, that he would go to the cross as the only acceptable sacrifice for your sins and my sins, once and for all. And because of that, we have free access. Because of that, we have confident expectation that we can receive freely from God all that he has for us. That faith is the key that unlocks the riches of heaven, the riches of God's promise to you.